Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome. How's the day been so far? Other than that miserable keynote. It was good? Okay. Well, now you get another 45 minutes with me, so that's either good or bad, depending on your perception, but clearly you're sitting here, so hopefully you're expecting something. So, what I'm going to talk to you about is architecting a solution on Azure, and this consists of a few different points that I want to kind of walk through and show some demos of, show some examples of. First, obviously giving a view of the overall compute platform and really digging into some of the details here. In this session, I am planning to focus more on the right side of this picture. What I'd like to do is actually walk you through a little bit of the details, usage patterns, sort of why you would put some of these pieces together, our different platform offerings that we have, including Functions, App Service, and Service Fabric, particularly focusing on those three. Cloud services I'll talk a little bit about as well. And then actually I have a session tomorrow that's going to be more focused on the left side, which is really sort of scale out VMs and infrastructure. And so that's kind of the idea here of the session. I'll talk then a little bit about how you can put these pieces together to build out broader solutions, to build out broader implementations. And so that's kind of the goal of this session. And so just to start off and give kind of a picture or a framing of sort of where we are in these different platform offerings. So the core compute offerings, the left side of that picture, solutions like VM infrastructure, scaling or VM scale sets, offering sort of that scaling infrastructure. The container orchestrator, which is still sort of an infrastructure position, but more focused on the container side of the house, but it is still sort of deploying on a set of infrastructure. And then batch, similarly, it's sort of an infrastructure approach, but on top of more of a job focus, but still deploying on a set of virtual machines. And so all of these I kind of categorize as the core compute services. They are all based on VM deployments, and you're still sort of living inside the VM world. And it gives a lot of flexibility, of course, but it also comes with some of the complexities that would come with sort of managing that infrastructure. And I do sort of view Agility going here to the right, and that's sort of the higher level service aspects as you move further to the right. So certainly virtual machines, you're doing everything. Scale sets, you sort of abstract a little bit away, and you're only dealing in sort of units of virtual machines versus each individual one. Container services, sort of even higher. You're managing at the container level, which simplifies quite a bit. And then batch, where you're at the job level, but you're still sort of in this core compute space. And so that's where that core compute aspect of the house sits. If you then look at the other half of the platform, more of those platform services. And this is where you start getting to even more agility, even more ease of use and deployment, where you've got cloud services. And this is really focused on our existing framework. So cloud services, for those who remember or are using it even today, it was the original platform as a service offering that we had. And it was really geared towards making it very, very easy originally to write .NET in such a way that you could scale very simply. You can update the instances very, very easily. Certainly, as time has progressed, a lot more advanced platform offerings have come out, sliding further to the right. And so cloud services is certainly still a very, very exciting offer and something we see a lot of people develop to. And it has its place as part of the overall service. When you look at the agility arrow here in this case, it definitely goes to the right when it comes to sort of ease of management, ease of deployment. And I'll even show that a little bit with some of the demos that I've got today, where I'll start from scratch and build up really entire code-based solutions using App Service and Azure Functions. And so as I move to the right here, microservices, I talked a little bit about this morning. I'll spend some more time on that and how Service Fabric can help you deliver on that. And then, of course, web mobile for building out apps on App Service and serverless on Azure Functions or event-based computing. So it's oftentimes when I get to this slide, or at least when I talk through this overall solution, I get questions, when should I use what? You've got so many services, and I don't know really sort of how to piece them together. At the end, I will show you some maps of sort of how some of these things can come together and add value to each other. Even through some of the demos, I'll do that. But a lot of the ways to view this platform and to view the different offerings we've got is really asking yourself, what problem are you trying to solve? As you look at these different services, whether Service Fabric or App Service, as kind of a good example, Service Fabric you certainly can build websites on, and you actually could build a microservice app on App Service. There's nothing stopping that. In fact, you can build a microservice app on a set of virtual machines, right? It's really just a programming model or an approach to how you build an app. And so, of course, it can work on any of these. But the Service Fabric was built to be able to supply a microservices platform. So it's got a lot of things built into it that make it very native at handling that, and I'll actually show you some of that. So how it does updates, how it does management between different instances, this was sort of built into the platform and makes it really great for that type of scenario. Versus just running a website, if you're just running a website, Service Fabric's a little bit overkill, right? You don't need the full platform to spin up a website. Man, it's so easy to just do it and manage it using App Service. And so it really comes down to the scenarios you're trying to deliver should help guide you to which one of the platforms are the best one, because they're each just really good at one thing, even though they can do multiple things. And then you kind of want to pick based on what you're looking for, that primary thing, and of course you can put them all together. And so that's one of the guiding points. Hopefully, as I talk through this session, you'll start seeing that in some of the demos of sort of what makes each one really strong. And so then if you look at the overall compute platform, this is sort of a good picture of, again, the colored boxes are sort of what they're good at, and the below picture is the service that we've got that offers that service. So again, like I said, I'll focus on the platform services today and focus on how some of these can come together in an interesting way. So I'm going to start with microservices, since that's sort of a really interesting pattern that we're seeing pick up. You saw this morning, and we talk a little bit about this. You know, the overall idea with microservices, it is a development platform pattern. It is a way to build an app. Like I said, you could build it on anything. You could build it on a set of virtual machines. In fact, we have some internal customers who have built a microservices platform on cloud services, right? It works, and that's a very viable option. You could build it using functions even, and I'll show a little bit of that later. And so when you look at what this can build, it enables that agility to update each one of these services individually. And so with Service Fabric, the key thing here, of course, it's all built in. So you can manage these microservices at scale. It can offer this 24/7 availability even while doing rolling updates. It's got health-based rolling updates. So when health fails as part of that rolling upgrade, it will automatically roll back for you. It offers both stateful and stateless services, and so I'm going to show that in the demo. This is a really key point. If you're doing anything with state, and this can be just the simplest of things, which is even just the memory of where this object has been and where it's going. It's very, very easy to do that using Service Fabric. It allows that capability to remember for each one of those microservices its individual state and replicate it automatically, and I'll show that. Of course, containers works here, and then multi-cloud. One of the interesting models with Service Fabric is we have two sort of deployment models. One is just using a service model, and so that's kind of what you'd expect. You sort of write the code, and it's a running service, and you decide how many of them you want, sort of a la this picture here. The other model, which I'll show you today, is called the actor model. And this is really thinking about microservices from the service itself. So it's sort of what I like to call sort of the object-oriented model to microservices. And what this does is it allows the programming of microservices much, much simpler. It makes it much easier to develop against it, and then, of course, piece it together with other solutions. And so let me actually show you a little bit of what this looks like and try and walk you through sort of what you can do with this. Oh, I'm 9 minutes late for my session. Okay, good. I'm here. I do need Outlook open for one of my demos. That's the only reason why that's there, just FYI. Okay. So what I've got here, I've actually got an app up and running, okay? And it's an app that's sitting right now in Visual Studio, and it's called Visual Objects. And you'll see sort of why this is a good app for showing microservices. But what this does is it's a very simple app. It ends up having little triangles that bounce around the screen and keep a tail behind them of where they've been. That tail is the data that's being stored, and each one of these little triangles is actually its own actor, okay? And so you see the code here. It's very simple code. I've got the stateful visual object actor, and it's basically a very simple service. It keeps track of how fast it needs to move, which ends up being sort of a random operation, obviously activation and so on. And then it also keeps track of when it's moving, whether it's spinning or not. And this is one of the aspects of the actor that you can change, right, and something that's been coded in. And so just to get started, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to build this, and I'm going to use my local machine here. And so if I just go here to publish, and so I've got this code, I've downloaded it, and I've got a local cluster that just gets set up for me by default, and I'll hit publish, and so it'll build this for me all here right on the fly. And so one of the things that I hope to show here is the fact that each one of these are individual actors. Each one of these are running an individual microservice. And then I'm hoping to show you the update of this and show you how this is going to progress through each one of these. So it looks like it is deploying now. So what I'll actually do is I'm going to go localhost and show you the Service Fabric Explorer. Let's see if anything's deployed here. Okay, great. Looks like it is deployed. So far, so good. Okay, and it looks like it's healthy and running. And so this Service Fabric Explorer allows you to basically walk through the microservice that's deployed. So I can go here and see this is, of course, running both. Let's see here if I make this a little bit. I've got both the actor service, and so that is the actors that are running that are each one of these little triangles. And then I've got the web service, which is hosting the website for me. And so let me go to the actual app that's running, localhost, and I think it's 8081, visual objects. And so this is running for me right now. And so, they are pyramids. They're not triangles. It's three-dimensional. Okay, and so you can see here they're running. It's, not necessarily a super sexy picture, but they are running. Each one of those is its own actor that's running, and the state of the actor is being saved as that tail. So it's remembering where it was, and of course, it's really just a few lines of code to be able to enable that. And so this is running local. It's running through sort of this local service that I've got. And so here, I'm actually going to go make a change to this. And, I've nicely got it commented and ready to go. But I'm actually going to say move to true, right? So all this is doing is this is now going to change whether these guys spin or not as part of their movement, okay? And so to do this through Visual Studio, very cool, I can go in and I actually only want to change the version of those actors that are running. So I want to keep the website untouched, let it continue to sit there, serve traffic, let people view this thing, but update the underlying actors and do a rolling upgrade. And this is sort of microservices at its best, as a sort of very simple example. I can make this update. Someone else could be working on the website and make changes to that all at the same time because these guys are completely different services that I'm managing. And so I'll go ahead and make this version 3. And so you see the overall application goes up, but the web service isn't going to change and isn't going to be touched as part of this. And so here I can go and do publish, and I am going to say upgrade. And so this will do, of course, the build and the upgrade. And let me actually slide over here and take a look. And so I should see popping up in the Service Fabric Explorer a build. Let me actually zoom this down just a little bit so you can see more. And so here, if I go into the application, there is an upgrade in progress. So that did come through. So let me actually click through to this. And there you can see the upgrade has started. And so what it's doing is it's actually going to split the upgrade into 5 parts. So here it's flashing on 0. It's moving to target version 3. And this upgrade's going to roll through the system in 5 parts. And so there it's actually hit the first one. So let me actually go back over to the app. Hopefully it's running here. It's on my local machine, so it's a little bit sluggish. Let's see here. I've got too many windows open. Okay, there we go. So it's now started moving. And so as this makes progress, hopefully what you'll see is it's making incremental progress. It's updating the actors as it goes. And as those actors get updated, they'll start spinning. But yet, the data isn't lost. The location of that running actor isn't changed. It will remember where it was, so the data is left unchanged, but it simply will just start rotating. It looks like the pink one started rotating if it gets enough cycles here. There we go. So there, the pink one you see has started. A few of them have started. Not all of them are rotating yet. Oh, it looks like maybe they all just finished. Well, you can imagine if it made a progression through them. And let's see if the update's actually done. So yeah, it's mostly done here. So you can see it's sort of walking through. And so this is the power of updating with microservices, with Service Fabric. It walks through them one by one. Now, if one of them had failed to update, one of them had said, whoa, this isn't accurate, this isn't successful, it will automatically roll back to the beginning and go back to the previous version of that update, again, keeping all of the data intact. And so you can see here now they all should be rotating at this point and up and running. And so very, very cool capability with Service Fabric to be able to do that type of update. Now, you're probably wondering, gosh, that was sluggish. You're running this on your local machine. I would just want to go play with this, but I'd rather not run it on my local machine. My demo will look like crap like Corey's. So what do I do about that? So one of the things that we do offer is this concept called party clusters. And so if you haven't played with this and you want to try Service Fabric, it's at Try Azure Service Fabric. You can just search for Try Azure Service Fabric, and you can join these little party clusters that when you join, we'll send you an email and says, hey, you've got this for 4 hours, go ahead and go play. The email will look something like this. Okay, thank you for trying this out, and it will give you a connection string. And so the key thing here, now I can go in and I can go publish this entire app to that site. So if I go in here and actually go into my publish profile here for Cloud XML, I can go change to this location, okay? And then it's 8636. So let me remember that. So I go here, change this to that, save it, and then I also want to go in and change the web service manifest to get that right, because I was 8001 and it tells me I need to use port 8636. And so with those two minor changes, hit save, go back, hit publish, and now I'm going to pick the cloud profile here. And so you can see it's already got that in there. Hit publish. And this should just enable me to go publish into public cloud, use actual instances of the public cloud running. Let's see here. Let me connect here to that endpoint. And this will allow me to, of course, use public cloud, use Azure directly as part of this party cluster. So it was 19080. Let's see here. I believe that's right. Nope. Hold on. Should be right. Let's see. No, the Explorer is on port 80, I think. Let's see here. 1980. Well, let's see. Did it actually publish here? Did it make success here? So it looks like it is attempting to publish. Did I get the wrong information here? Well, anyway, you can imagine. Maybe we'll come back later and it'll be up and running. So this does enable you to do this on a free sort of deployment. You've got 4 hours, so this does say, I've got till 14:01. Oh, maybe this is the wrong one. I've got till 14:01 UTC until it's gonna block me out. Okay. So, of course, everything that I've shown you so far has been on the Windows side. So the cool thing about this, and we just launched this last week, is we also support full Linux capabilities on top of this as well. And I actually have a full app running here just to kind of show you what this looks like. So this is all running Linux. It's actually running a game called Age of Ascent, if you've seen this, which is running .NET Core. So it actually can run on Windows or Linux. And they've redeployed it on top of Linux. And so a good example, again, of the microservice-based deployment model, they've broken down accounts, artificial intelligence, corporate, dark matter, gray matter, public, and space. And then each of these end up being sort of a set of microservices that can be managed accordingly. And so each one of those is a service, and each one then has a set of microservices to manage. And this turns into a very fun game that then is hosted online. And so you can see here, this is running as part of their thing. And of course, it's a blaster game here. Let's see. Oh, that's fun. Okay, I'm going to spend the rest of the talk playing this. No, just kidding. Okay, great. And so that is really, when you think of the power that microservices can offer, that gives you the full picture there. Okay. And so as I mentioned, microservices with Azure, all deployed on top of VM scale sets. The container service, of course, you can do this. It ends up being more of your do-it-yourself environment. You can deploy, you orchestrate yourself, and you can build the composition. Or with Service Fabric, you can effectively deploy very quickly and manage it using that prescriptive model that I walked you through, whether it be actors, whether it be services, and it enables that type of environment. And of course, you can also do a combination of these. So as I move up the stack a little bit to websites, as I mentioned this morning, websites very powerful in offering a higher level managed service where you don't even have to deal with the virtual machines. You're just deploying a web app, right? And so the one I just showed you, obviously it has a web app portion to it, a website portion to it, but it also has that running actor service underneath. In this case, if you're just building a website that you've got multiple languages to deploy to, you want to handle autoscale and so on, app service becomes a really powerful option for you. It's got the high availability built in, and it's incredibly easy to connect CI/CD with things like VSTS, which I showed you this morning, or directly with GitHub, which I'm going to show you today. And this capability, of course, gets you started very fast with web solutions. And so, like I mentioned, with that whole CI/CD environment, you can take advantage of that code repository and, of course, build and deploy all through a very simple experience, whether that be VSTS or something like Jenkins or something like GitHub. And so let me actually show you what this looks like on the app service side. So the first thing I'm going to show you with app service is just how fast you can get going. That looks like that didn't. Great. Let's see here. Okay. And so I'm actually just going to start from scratch, which I always like to do with app service, just to show sort of how amazingly easy and fast this is. And so I'll go in here and say web and mobile. And I'm going to show you web app here. It's so fast. I promise you. It is easy, at least. Let's see here. I'm going to blame the Wi-Fi. Or the portal. One or the other. It's not app services' fault, that's for sure. All right. This is going awesome so far. Let me try hitting the button again here and see what comes up. And so what this is going to offer me is the ability to create a web app experience directly here in the portal and connecting to a code repository using something like GitHub. And so what this should enable me to do is connect to a node solution that I've already got in GitHub and quickly connect that CI/CD experience so that updates will automatically get picked up. Let's try and reload this guy. Maybe my Wi-Fi's down. Let's see here. Let's just go to a test site. Let's see. Looks like nothing's cooking here. Wait. Ah, oh, Bing came up. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you all use that. Right? No? All right, let's see here. It is slow, though. Look at this. Let me try and switch here. I'm going to switch right in the middle, just to show you how great this is. Right in the middle, I'm going to switch to the other. Let's see if this works. All right. And magic. All right. I bet you that's going to work. And then you're going to be so awestruck. This demo's coolness is going down really quickly. The whole point of this demo was, gosh, that was fast. Anyway. Okay, so here I am. I'm in. Woohoo! All right. And so what I've got here is, let's just say, Corey Tech Days. There, and let's see. I want to create something new here. Okay, so this is creating my app name. I'm going to create new. I'm picking, I already have sort of an app service plan set up. I will turn on App Insights, and I will pin this to the dashboard. Okay, and so that's validating all the components here, and validation successful. And so let's see here. And there it is, sort of deploying web app up here. And just to give you a sense, of course, doing this live always has its risks, but hopefully this gets going very, very quickly. And so, you know, just with a couple of options, couple of parameters, and I should be able to have this web app up and running for me to play with almost instantaneously. And I have a backup if it doesn't come up almost instantaneously. But I've got a good feeling about this. Let's click on it and see. Wow, that's fast. I know you're thinking that. All right, it is up. Look at that. Okay, so it is up. It is running as the status says. I trust that status. And so now what I want to do is I go into deployment options. And so this is obviously brand new. It's running right now. And so I want to configure this. And so for the deployment source, as I mentioned, I'm going to use GitHub. And so what I've got here in GitHub is I've already got an app here that I've written. It's a fairly simple app. It's just a JavaScript app that just basically prints out on a page, hello, okay? And so I can go in here, and it actually has my information from GitHub already preloaded. And so you have to do that once, and then each time you go in here, it's set up and ready to roll. And so pick my project, and I think it's Node Hello here, okay? Branch master, and I'm not going to configure any tests just yet. And so just like that, now I've created that JavaScript experience. I've connected it directly to this deployment. I've successfully set this up. And so if I go back up here and hit my overview, let's see if this website's up and running. And so I click on this first time. I just created this live. That's not the page. Let's see. So that the stock page is there, so that's good. Let's see where the deployment's going. I'll pull this up. It looks like it should have been updated. Maybe I just missed it. Hello, so there you go. So that's the JavaScript page. So I've now gone from scratch. I built this app, and I've connected it here. And so that's all while you were sitting there and while the Wi-Fi was struggling me. And now the best part about this is I can create this JavaScript app. I can update it now right here. Commit it. And now if I go back over here, it should automatically pick it up here and be able to deploy that, and that full CI/CD pipeline is set up. So let's see. Let's see if it worked. So I did hit sync, didn't I? Okay, good. Okay. And so let's try and refresh here. Oh, it already got updated. So it's already been deployed. It's already been updated. It should show up here. Let me actually try and sync here and see what comes up. There you go. And so it tells me, look, this one's been made inactive, and the new one's been put in place. Right? And so in just this one very fast experience, I've now set up a deployment pipeline all the way through end to end. And just shows you sort of the power of app service for website and website management and building. Okay? And, of course, the mobile side of the house, almost identical to what I just walked you through, except it's also got support for a bunch of mobile-focused solutions, things like sign-on with Active Directory, broadcast push. So some of those are built right in, but the mobile solution is built on top of that app service solution, so it enables a lot of those same experiences, that quick start, easy integration with a CI/CD environment, and, of course, with this, you also can make apps work offline and deep integration with Xamarin on the mobile side as well. And so the last one I kind of wanted to walk through after sort of showing that same sort of CI/CD here, again with Hockey App in the middle of this as well, I did want to spend some time talking a little bit about functions. Let's functions here. Sorry. So before I get to functions, the one thing to really focus on with app service is this integrated development model. So whether you're doing something like the app service experience, whether you're doing something like, the web app experience, the mobile app experience, you saw at the very beginning I selected the app service environment that I was using, and that same business model can apply to all of these, right? And so you can end up sharing and mixing and matching the usage patterns across this, right? And so it enables you putting these components together in a very seamless way without having to necessarily pay for each one individually. And so that includes both the web app solution, the mobile app solution, but it also includes things like API apps that allows you to track the usage of APIs and sharing of APIs. It also includes things like functions and logic apps. And so all of this can run as part of that same business model. It makes it really simple to track usage and spend and also optimize the usage on the platform as you put many of these components together. And so it's important when you're architecting solutions to realize that these solutions can come together and take advantage of these different components to really bring down your costs and also leverage those same back-end experiences with things like GitHub or VSTS. And so the last aspect here to connect a lot of these components together is this serverless, this functions capability. And what functions can really do is pretty much anything. And this is sort of the nice picture where pretty much all events can come through Azure Functions and turn into some sort of code that you're going to run. And so it's used as part of a lot of connecting glue for applications. So different applications can come together, and you can use functions to piece them components together, can bring that event language and be able to set up different parts of your app accordingly. And so it allows you building these computing apps much easier. It is a core component for a lot of the architecture that you're going to use to be able to communicate between different parts of your app. And you can develop natively in C# and Node, which I'll show you here in a minute. And of course, you can take events even from external sources like GitHub. And it's very, very easy to use, and like I said this morning, fully open source. And so let me actually show you a quick demo of what that looks like right now. So the beautiful part about Azure Functions is almost all of it can sit directly inside the portal experience. Obviously, you can do it inside of Visual Studio as well, but so much of this is possible inside the actual portal experience. And so with the startup functions, you can do things like timer-based functions, data processing functions. You can even connect webhooks and be able to use that. So a few examples that I want to give you. The first one I actually want to show you is I do want to show you a resize function. And so this one I have built ahead of time because it does have a bunch of code that's been developed here. And this error I will fix here in a minute. So what this does here is it's basically a set of code that's been written in here, and it ends up taking an image that's been passed in and will resize it in a couple different ways. And so the key thing here is the event for this function is an incoming image into a storage account, and the output is two images into similar storage accounts. And so you can see here the input from this run is an image, and of course the output is image small and image medium. And the code, very simply, goes through, of course, and just takes those images and will resize them. And so we'll look at the images and basically make edits to them. And so you can see here, it actually goes through. Here's the dimensions for the size that you want to go deploy. And so small, medium, and extra small if you want. And then the code to actually go make the change. And so right here in the portal experience now, though, I can connect these triggers that allows me to do this resize. And so if I click here, and so I've got all the code in there. And so if I click here and say trigger, I'm going to do Azure Storage Blob. Okay, and select that. And so the parameter in the code was actually image. Okay, and so this is using, let's see, I want to pick the storage. I want to pick Cori Function Store. Okay, and then the path for where this is sample images. Oops. Sample images, and then I want to do image as the, I think it's capital I, image as basically the the name of the image coming in. So this supplies the name of that image coming in. And actually, if I pull up, I've got my Azure Storage Explorer set up. And so this is going to pull straight from this sample images and pull that in as my input. So that is the trigger. So that is pulling in from an Azure blob. And that's the trigger that's going to launch this code. And then the output, if you remember, one is a storage blob here as well. And one is, let's see here, the same function store. And so this one was actually image small. And I want to make this out path to be, let's make it sample images. And then let's keep a random code for this one. And I'll save that. And then another output, which was image medium, again, going to Azure Storage Blob. Okay, same thing, storage, image medium, okay. And then I want to do sample images. And then this one, I'm actually going to use the same name as I was using. So that should just be image, okay. Okay, and that should be it. So now I've connected my trigger, input trigger. I've connected my output trigger. Let's just go back and make sure image, lowercase. Oh, it is lowercase. So let me fix that here. Image is lowercase. Okay. Hopefully that error goes away. And this just works. Oh. Okay. Great. And so that should be it. So let's go over to develop and take a look at our logs and see. I'm going to clear so I can see what's going on here. Okay. What I'll do, I'll actually upload an image here. So I have an Amsterdam picture. Let's see here. So this is uploading this image. And so there it landed here in this location. Let's see if this code ends up running. Okay, there you go. So you see, this is sort of the example. This, I dropped it in the blob, I connected the blob to this, and the function immediately starts running. It then finishes successfully, so let's actually go back here, refresh. Let's see, did I refresh? Let's see, looks like, did it create these things? What's that? Oh, it's putting it back in. It's going to run forever, isn't it? Thanks. That's a bug. I was testing you. Let's see if this ended up working. So, well, it's hard to see here, but that the picture's not good. That's not a factor of the function being broken. This was supposed to be a picture of this morning. It looks like it didn't look quite right. So anyway, so I put it right back in, didn't I? So now it's running it against itself repeatedly. So that's awesome. That's the power of bad functions there. If you draw it that way. All right. Let me kind of pull back out here. And so, you know, one of the things to talk about here, when I talk about functions and sort of this serverless capability, the whole goal here is that you've got granular transaction billing. So those functions you're paying for each time they run. Now, if you set up a recursive one, you're going to be paying a lot. So don't do that. But if you end up paying for each one of these as you go. And so the nice thing is again, you're only paying for that usage. You're only paying for that deployment. You're not paying for the surrounding servers. You're not paying for that ongoing running, which is different from app service. Now, app service also doesn't have servers you're managing, which is nice. But the fact that you're for functions, you're only paying for that usage makes it a really nice addition to your deployment. So, and then, of course, you can build sort of this microservice solution on top and use Azure Functions as part of that. Okay. So it's an important point to sort of just touch on quickly these different aspects of compute and what they all mean. So one, of course, containers is application packaging. This is not a style of programming. It is really just a way of putting your content together to deploy it like an executable or a jar. Serverless ends up being a characteristic of the platform itself. It dictates your operational and cost model, versus microservices is more of an architectural model. So it offers more of the approach to how you code, three-tier, thin client, etc. And so all of these are very different in what they mean and how they should mean to you. Okay, so what does this all mean? When you put it all together, what do these things actually look like? So I've really walked you through how to build microservices. I've walked you through sort of an app service, web apps approach, and I've walked you through what functions look like. But when you're building your app, what does this actually mean? Well, some simple answers are you build a simple web app, and you've got, of course, your Azure web app, which I showed you. It's connected to Azure Active Directory and SQL Database, maybe as your back-end data store. So very simple. You can build it very quickly, as I showed you, and use that back-end data store almost immediately. And that's called a simple web app. But not many apps end up there, right? That's maybe how they start. But as you start scaling this, you start building more and more, and you start needing to put some pieces together. You need to scale it out to multiple regions. And so that web app that I showed you, it's a little bit of a demo-only type of scenario. As you scale out, you're going to want to add Traffic Manager on top and be able to connect these things, perhaps, again, using simple identity and maybe scaling to multiple regions, where then maybe Redis Cache is helping you to get your caching. And so you start with these concepts, these app service concepts, and you scale them out to multiple regions, multiple deployments, and suddenly you've got this much more complex solution using these different services. And of course, maybe you're using an event-based system so these guys can talk to each other. And that then is a great usage of something like functions. So functions ends up being, again, this really nice connecting glue across your app. So when you're architecting a web app that scales, suddenly you need these guys to talk to each other. You need them to be able to coordinate. Maybe it's an ordering system. Now suddenly you can use event hubs to push that data there and then have functions listening as part of that, similar to what I just did, and be able to take action. So whether it be sending it off somewhere else, whether it be dropping it down into DocumentDB, you can do this using, again, that app service plus functions to be able to glue these components together as you're architecting the solution. Now imagine you're adding something like mobile to this, right? So you've got that web app on top. You maybe want to add mobile to it. You're using an app API app that sits on top. And again, perhaps sitting in table storage. Again, you can see where functions can come in, right? And so when you're architecting this type of solution, you start thinking, great, I've got my web app. I've got my mobile app. And then functions is going to take action as data comes through, maybe pump it off to some other solution. And this is very similar, actually, to what Jet.com is using for portions of their application, for portions of their service, where they use Azure Web App for their front end, and they've used portions of the API app for the ability for their vendors to talk to the system, and then functions with some combination of table storage and DocumentDB for being able to handle the load and handle the orders that are coming through and take action against them. So similarly with a mobile app. And so you can see how functions with some of the back-end storage solutions can really glue a lot of these pieces together. And then, of course, an e-commerce site. And this is sort of what I was just talking about with Jet. You expand this out, and you do see opportunity for something like Service Fabric to also come into the mix. So this is something like what we've seen folks like, again, Jet.com use, where they may use Service Fabric for some of their back-end storage. Because of the amount of throughput that's going through the system, they need that local data as part of the stateful services that Service Fabric offers. But they're still using web app for their front end. They'd still prefer manage their front end using a web app solution and perhaps using Event Hub to be able to connect in between. And maybe table storage ends up being where they put data that that once they've gone through that initial analytics, they can drop it off there. That table storage could then conceivably use Azure Functions to be able to drop off into an API app solution back and forth between that that may have callers like vendors calling in and using it. And so, of course, you can imagine the entire scenario ending with orders being stored when they're done in SQL DB and Azure ML running predictive analysis against it, right? And so an e-commerce site that ends up taking advantage of Redis for the caching, SQL for the back-end storage, for the longer-term back-end storage to use things like predictive analytics on it, and, of course, then Service Fabric for more of the immediate action, the immediate data that's being stored off into table storage where then functions could be used to coordinate action taken against it. So you can see this whole pipeline comes together with these different services that I've shown you. And then actually a real-world example, TalkTalk, ends up doing this with an experience that they've built using a web app as their front end. They engage through an API app that sits on top of Service Fabric. And Service Fabric, again, is basically their queuing system. So Service Fabric takes in their queues for what type of video encoding that they need to do to be able to display this to customers as they call in. And so then this calls out to a set of services straight from Service Fabric, things like batch to run the queuing service and media services to be able to do some of the encoding. And, of course, Key Vault being their security measure, all this sitting on virtual machines in Service Fabric with web app being their front-end website. And so this is actually the architecture that they're using to run a very scalable solution. So you can see the solutions that I pulled together, the different services that I've shown you, and how they can come together in a full architecture based on what they're good for. And it comes back to the point I mentioned at the very beginning where really picking the services, first of all, it's not the final decision you ever make. You can always switch them. But picking the services really comes down to what are you trying to get done, right? Which part of your services is going to be used by that application platform, whether it's doing a microservice-based solution, whether it's doing a heavy throughput data solution, whether it's doing the web app portion, the mobile app portion, or whether it's running as part of Connecting Glue event-based solution. These are how you make your decisions, and then they can all come together to make a fairly complex and complete application. And so with that, thank you very much, and obviously enjoy the rest of Tech Days.